This Chernobyl, this miniseries that HBO put out, is so intense and like beautiful and brutal and like Rachel and I watched this like cry just a couple weeks ago, and I saw this scene, and we all know generally what happened at Chernobyl in 1986, nuclear kind of accident in Ukraine and Soviet Union at the time. And you watch this happen, and you're just like, no, don't just stand there. And like the guy's like, I can taste metal, and you can just see what happened. You can feel it, and it's shocking to watch because we know that they're slowly, like all of those guys are killing themselves with the radiation at that time. And it's just painful to watch happen the longer they stand there. And so I'm not going to like pretend this is a metaphor, of course. And I think I'm looking at that, thinking about the poison that's slowly, slowly hitting them. And it kind of hit me that, like, forgiveness is not a time machine. And we also, when we kind of slowly, slowly don't forgive people, we slowly have this bitterness kind of creep through us. And we each have our own, like, catastrophes in our lives, and we need to acknowledge them. And when you can see, like, from a distance, if I look back and, like, I can see a relationship or see something happen, just like, ooh, that person needs to make that right, or that's going to get really, really bad. And it'd make good TV, but, like, people are going to get hurt if they don't do that. And so I've been talking this month about, I think we need to acknowledge our mistakes, our sins, the ways we treat other people, and kind of know about them. And I've talked that sorry isn't enough. You know, people want these days, they don't want to say, I'm sorry. It's, I'm just sorry. I can't say that I am. I don't want to, like, put myself into the situation. Or, I'm sorry if this offended you. And that's not enough. And so last week we talked about that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so I cleverly, you know, said, no apologies. It's really brilliant, I know. No apologies seem pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And then Hebrews continues on there. The writer says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So being trained by this forgiveness and being trained by apologizing and recognizing what we've done wrong. And so forgiveness is not a time machine, which is kind of a nice saying that Don made up a couple years ago. And we've been saying it around here, like, hey, if I forgive you, it doesn't mean, I still did this thing and I'm not going to get over it. And I'm here to say forgiveness is not a time machine, but I really think it's good for you. And there's other parts of forgiveness that I think are important, but I think it's good for us as people. It makes us aware of what we've done wrong. We know, we can feel the weight of the sin, of the wrong that I've done, how I treated somebody. Having to say it out loud, I'm sorry for X. I'm sorry for acting this way. Will you please forgive me? You feel that. And it starts the process of reconciliation. We talked about this too, that forgiveness is not a time machine, but it starts a starting point. It says, okay, I'm going to try to make this relationship right. And some of us, we might spend the rest of our lives trying to reconcile with somebody who's wronged us or someone who we wronged, or, you know, we have these years built in. And it might not fully happen, or it might not ever happen, but it starts that. It's the beginning of reconciliation. And we also talked about how forgiveness, it sets you free from the guilt of what you've done. We can take a deep breath after you've apologized to somebody. That guilt is gone. You're like, oh, I can breathe again. I feel like this weight is off my shoulders. And not that we, you know, you still did something wrong and it's still there, but the guilt of that is just gone. And it also reminds us that Christ needed to die for us. As Christians, you know, all this other stuff's for free. I think that in like God's common grace, we have this as, even if we aren't believers, forgiveness is good for us. But we also know as Christians that we're mirroring Christ's example. And so when I forgive somebody, I'm also mirroring that Christ has forgiven us for what I've done and for how I've sinned. And Christ died on the cross for my sins. And so this is a reminder every time we seek forgiveness and apologize, and it's good for you. And apologies also create and foster humility. It's humiliating, humbling, I don't know, whichever one you want to say, to ask forgiveness from somebody, especially somebody who you don't like or you disrespect or like doesn't really know or maybe isn't a Christian, and it's just like, what are you doing? This is really weird and it feels really awkward. But it creates some humbleness in us and reminds us that we're not the greatest person in the world or we're not the ultimate whatever. And then finally, kind of last week we finished up that it creates a path for growth. Like, I'm going to grow. I made this mistake, and when I say it out loud and admit to it and repent, that's like a note in my head that I don't want to feel that again. I don't want to feel the pain of making that mistake or that sin or treating that person that way. I also, I don't want to ask forgiveness again. And so I really think forgiveness is really good for you, and it's good for us to try and be a part of that. And so I'm pro-forgiveness, you know, that's surprise, surprise. Anyways, so we said this end of Hebrews last week, or not end of Hebrews, Hebrews 12:14 said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The next verse after that, Hebrews 15, again, it's not fair because I'm not showing you the whole passage, it's verse by verse. So you're like, wow, I can't believe that said that. It says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. No bitter root, no bitterness, no, that unforgiveness can really, really build in that bitterness. And bitterness in us, we can hold on to that. As last week, I kind of told you guys, I am not I'm not an expert Bible teacher. I feel like Don's always like, I'm a painter, you know, blah, 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 and I'm a web designer, I make or code websites. It's not that important. But I am an expert at being a jerk and then having to ask apologies. I've done it so many times, and so I've got plenty more stories to tell you guys this morning. Many years ago, Rachel and I were married. I've been married now 9 years, and we had dated a while, so we knew each other well. And we got married, and I thought like that would be like the beginning of a great relationship. And I heard another pastor, I think it was Matt Chandler, say like, and I was listening to Matt Chandler a lot of the time. He's like, yeah, the first 5 years of my marriage were just awful. It was just the worst. And I'm like, what a moron. Like, come on, I can get over that. And the first 5 years of our marriage, Rachel and I can't say they're the worst. I mean, we're through it, but like, it was tough. Rachel and I talk a lot. I'm a verbal processor, and I'm very much decisive, and I have ideas, and I'll say them, and I'm like, why don't you do this? And Rachel is I want to take time, and I want to think through this, and then I'll have a response. And so when we come to head on that, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and she's still contemplating X, and I'm like, but I'm already on Z moving forward. And so we weren't communicating well, and then we would say things, and I would get upset because she couldn't keep up, and then she would get upset because I was being a jerk to her, and we went back and forth, and then we wouldn't seek forgiveness. We wouldn't repent. We wouldn't do anything, and it's communication was just breaking down. And so this would build up and build up and build up until, like, you know, she'd give me the silent treatment, and I would give her the silent treatment back, and then it's like, well, I don't want to talk to her because it's going to make her upset, and we'd go back and forth and have this stupid, just not communicating, not forgiving each other. And we were just talking about it, and like, I can't, and again, this happens all the time, which is the crazy thing about unforgiveness and bitterness. I can't remember really what the issue was, what problems, like the day-to-day problems were. It was just we were growing apart, and this bitterness was building and building. I don't remember what we were fighting about. I remember, as she pointed out, we were in the cars before we had kids, and like, it just got to a head, and I pulled over, and like, it wasn't like, I'm not like angry mad, but like, we're kind of yelling at each other and upset. We're both probably, she's definitely crying, I'm probably close to tears, and like, I just remember like, I'm pretty sure in that moment, we forgave each other and asked forgiveness, but that wasn't like the ultimate, like everything got better. Like, it took time, because we had built this over time. And we didn't even fully realize how we were kind of poisoning our relationship. And it wasn't just that we were, like, hurting ourselves by doing that. Like, I wasn't just like, you know, forgiveness is not a time machine, but it's good for me, so I should have asked forgiveness because it would have been good for me to learn from my mistakes and then change. We were hurting each other, too. I was by not forgiving, it wasn't good for her because we were crossing that way and not thinking of the other person. And so unforgiveness will create bitterness over time. It grew and it grew and it grew and it slowly poisoned our relationship. And I guarantee if there's a clip of our lives like Chernobyl here, you could look at us and be like, Josiah, you need to apologize for being a jerk. Rachel, I don't actually know if she needs to apologize, but you're probably harboring some bad feelings for Josiah for being a jerk. So you guys need to apologize to each other and move on and communicate. And we weren't doing that. And that bitterness grew. And slowly, over time, poisoned us. And in this Hebrews, he writes about this bitter root. In high school, again, same year as my terrible senior year story, if you heard that last week, and earlier in that year, I was a part of We called it a worship team, so it'd be like a house band or whatever you want, say. And I had kind of taught myself to play piano. I kind of talked about this. I was a burgeoning musician, or burgeoning, is that the word? I was a growing musician, even though I really just taught myself to play piano, and I was terrible at all of it. But I loved playing piano. I loved playing keys in the worship team, and I kind of, I'm a loudspoken, I have opinions, I like to organize things. And so like going up through high school, I was helping organize this worship team and the things that happened. Our senior year comes, and my best friend, I also play with him, and he actually wanted to be a full-time musician, and I was kind of wanting to be like, I don't know, something in tech, something maybe I'll stay back by the soundboard and web design. That wasn't even on my radar. I barely was just using MapQuest at the time. So this all happened, and so that team came, and we were on the same team, and a pastor, the pastor that was there, picked my buddy Seth to be the leader of that team. And it really hurt because I love Seth. I was louder and like kind of already organizing things, and so I felt like I should have gotten that. And who knows if what should have been fair. Of course, I don't even know, but I was thinking back about this. I blamed that man who picked that for so many years. I was so bitter about that, and I held on to that, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And the bitter root thing, this, I don't know that I needed to seek forgiveness from that man, because he didn't, I feel like he wronged me, but I don't know, but it affected my relationship with Seth. That year, we kind of grew apart because I was bitter that he got selected for something that I wanted to have and that I thought I deserved, and it hurt our friendships. And so that whole time, I thought I was just being not unforgiving to this pastor, when really I was hurting my friend that whole time. And so I was choosing not to forgive and getting stuck in that past and being like, oh man, the little man, I'm just getting kicked down, and like he's friends with him, and just kind of building this up in myself. And we all do this about everything, like these things that happen in our lives, we kind of start holding on to them. And so without my forgiveness, I was constantly stuck in, pastor, man, what's up with me and pastors? I don't know what it is. Maybe that's why we're all here at Action Church. Maybe that's the church for people who don't like church. Maybe that's why that I got attracted to this place. But I was just upset, and I held on to that. And we even, again, man, my parents made me go into this guy's office that same year, and I didn't have to apologize because I didn't write a death threat song against him. But I did, like, they knew something was wrong, and I could see that bitterness in me. And we had to talk it out, and I wasted years, even after high school, even in college and throughout that, like harboring this bitterness towards this person for a slight that I thought that I should have had. And so I wasted years, and I know nobody can relate to this at all, right? No, nobody wastes years in bitterness and resentment when we could have been living our lives in joy and happiness. It was such a stupid thing too. And even further down the road now, when I'm thinking about it, like as I was putting this story together, I didn't really realize how much that affected my friendship with Seth. Like, I feel like I was kind of annoyed about it, but, like, I really, like, kind of let my friend down that year, and kind of even going on. I mean, we're still friends to this day. I was in his wedding, but there was some that time in our lives that was a little rough for some stupid reason. It's really interesting because last week, read this verse in Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. It gets harder to forgive over time. The further you get out, Rachel and I, going again and again, not forgiving, maybe some little forgiveness here, but not truly moving on, not truly talking. And then with this, where I was upset at this man and took it out on my friend, years later, how do you even apologize or seek forgiveness or forgive them? It just builds. It's really hard to forgive the longer you wait. I think Jesus is right here. If you're in the middle of something, and I'm not talking these years later, but like if something happened, go seek forgiveness now. The best time to seek forgiveness is not years later after you've all kind of moved on, but like that thing that happened last week, or that thing that happened this morning, or that thing that happened like a month ago, go make that right, because the longer you sit, that bitterness, later on in Chernobyl, I mean, I feel like it's spoilers, but at the same time, like, it's not, because you can go read it on Wikipedia since it happened. But, like, the guys who were, like, shoveling all of that graphite, which was holding, the graphite rods off the roof, they could only be there for, like, 30 seconds or a minute, or I think it was like a minute 20, I think. But they couldn't be there long because it was going to kill them. And I think when we let that unforgiveness in our lives and that bitterness grow and grow, it's going to poison us. The best time to see forgiveness is now, because forgiveness is not a time machine. So you can't go back. If you lose all those years of bitterness in that time, you're not getting that back. And I know, Don, I'm taking Don's metaphor, forgiveness is not a time machine, like you can't undo, but like, you would wish you had time travel to go back and seek forgiveness, maybe before, instead of waiting for so longer. My third example this morning is a more recent example. And again, I think I've talked about this. I have a tendency to say what I think, and I say it in a not respectful way. And so I have some emails that I wrote it's probably a month or two ago that I'm going to share. I've blacked out any names of people that I work with so that you can't, like, you know, they're not going to be embarrassed about this. But here's what I wrote to WebSysAdmin. I oversee the design and photo department at work, and the photo team needed to update documentation, and it was kind of an urgent thing. The executives wanted to see, like, hey, they know what they're talking about, and so we wanted to have some representation of what we do, our processes, our style guide, how things should be shot. And so it was urgently, I had that team writing all this up. They had some stuff they needed to edit and work on, and so we needed our own photowiki.webstrongstore.com. And so I wrote this email. I said, we need to stand up a wiki for photo to have a history of all their documentation and update the department with new posts. If you really don't want to do another WordPress, that might be okay. But we need ASAP, and I need to convince about why it's better than WordPress, because I'm really smart and intelligent. And you guys don't know what you're talking about. I know you guys are going to take really, really long time to do this, so let's cut the BS and let's get this done. That's what I was insinuating in that email. And I wrote it a little, like, I was just expecting them to be difficult and expecting and just kind of building that up. They write a nice response back. I'll take care of this for you. Team talked it over, and we're fine using WordPress. WordPress isn't really the correct, you know, this is getting a little technical details. Don talks to you about Paint. I'll talk to you about the internet. But we're fine using WordPress. We'd like to move away from managing them, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, he says there, this will be done by end of week at the latest. If that doesn't work for you, let me know. So this was Monday when I wrote this email. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to document. I told my team they need to have this done in like 2 days. End of the week is not acceptable at all. And so instead of, I mean, he wrote in here, if that doesn't work for you, let me know. Instead of like being, hey, that doesn't work for me, can we do this a little faster? I wrote, thank you, blank. If it takes that, if it takes longer than 5 minutes, let me know, winky face. And then I sent him a link to how to install WordPress in 5 minutes. So I have installed WordPress a ton of times. I've done like 100 times on a server. I can go right now in this service, go buy a server, put install WordPress on it, and have it running. It is not that hard. And of course, I am expecting this, and I am just furious that they say it should take a week. And so ops is the worst, I can do better, blah, 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 blah. And I wrote a winky face, so you know I'm joking, but I'm not really joking. You know, jokes are funny because they're painfully true. And Frank, and you can also see all of the backup there. There were people CC'd on this email, and I was treating this guy like a jerk. And so one of the people on the email responded with an ouch, and I was like, ha, he got the joke, yeah, and like kind of feeling good about myself. And then of course the web sysadmins guys, his boss messaged me, he's like, hey man, like you're kind of being a little bit of a, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but you guys take forever, and he kind of called me on it. And so this was like, what time was this? This was still like, yeah, 2 p.m. on a Monday. So the next morning I came in, and I wrote, I want to apologize for sending this an entire thread. It was a joke, but it wasn't a nice joke. I'm in the wrong. And then I listed by name. And future web sysadmin ticket readers, you're doing a fine job, and I appreciate your diligence in getting these little projects like this done. So here's what sucks, too, is this isn't just a personal email. This is in their ticketing system. So forever, they can see that I was a jerk. And forever, all these people that I copied on there can see how I treated someone poorly. People who, like, report to me. And it was embarrassing, and so I felt the need to apologize. And I even broke my own rule that I set, like my mom, you know, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for, Josiah? For sending us the entire thread. It was a joke, but it wasn't very nice. And I'm supposed to say, will you please forgive me? I didn't even have, I couldn't, I said I'm in the wrong because I was saying that, will you please forgive me, is painful, like I said last week, and I avoided it. So I need to work on that more. But I was not being kind or compassionate. I was not thinking about him first. I was just worried about myself, and I had to apologize to a bunch of people, kind of anonymously, but like through email, which was, and if you think too, next time I have to work with these guys, are they going to be like eager to help me out? Are they going to be, oh, this is the jerk who sends us a little 5-minute install link or whatever, how to do this better, how to do our jobs? Jesus said this in Luke. He said, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Love your sysadmins. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you in one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's the golden rule. We all know this. You can say, actually, I think people know this and might even not know that it's from Jesus. Forgive others as you would have them forgive you. Was I treating, if I got the email, if I was on receiving an email of someone in another apartment talking to me like that, I would be just as furious as I was the one writing that email. And he was even like kind of respectful. When I made that joke, he didn't snap back at me. His boss did, correctly, because that boss was a good manager. So I was being a terrible person. Forgive others as you would have them forgive you. And this isn't just about you. It's good for the people you're apologizing to and those witnesses and the people that I CC'd on that email, like my director and then, or my direct report there and then the person that kind of reports to him. Like they saw me own my mistake and say, I was wrong. That was not the way that I should be talking. I think this is also good for us, I talked about this a little bit last week, to apologize to our kids. It's treating others how you want to be treated. I want to apologize to my children so that when they do wrong, they want to seek forgiveness too. Like, kids learn by our actions. Not, I mean, our direction and our discipline, you know, no discipline is pleasant at a time. That the Hebrews is right about that. But they learn by us doing this. So when I have to sit down and get down with my daughter and say, honey, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? She's going to remember that and do it again. I still, to this day, remember getting called in the living room as a kid. And my dad's there, and mom, and my sister, and my dad apologized to the whole family. That sticks with you. It really, like, I remember that. It's probably why I'm so passionate about forgiving and apologizing these days. But people and kids are going to learn by our actions. So if I want to be apologized to, if I want to be treated with respect and love, I need to do that with my own actions. People learn by our actions, not just my direction or discipline, not just by me writing a nasty email. Which, frankly, that wasn't that nasty, but I probably have nasty emails. That was just so recent that I kind of remembered it, thinking about this. People and kids and our coworkers and the people we interact with are going to learn by our actions. So if you want to be treated like this, you should also be forgiving so that they can treat us that way. I think, too, about this verse in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. It says, do not be deceived. We've talked about this here at Action Church a lot. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we reap what we sow. If I'm going to sow a bunch of terrible emails and over time with my wife not forgiving her and bottling it all up so that I don't upset her, or so that, like, and then explode later on, or with, like, if I with my friend in high school, if I decided just like, I'm so angry at this guy, like, I'm going to reap what I sow there. And so when I sow bitterness and unforgiveness, I'm going to get destruction. I'm going to harvest something in that. And when you sow apologies and forgiveness in others, the peace and the grace and the compassion, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You reap what you sow. No bitter root grows up to cause trouble. If I'm going to act this way, I'm going to sow it, or I'm going to reap it. And I think, too, about thinking about others and reaping what we sow. So I'm going to sow things in others. How do you feel when someone apologizes to you? How does it feel to be on receiving an apology? It's humbling, like, to ask that apology. And then when people react to you, it's kind of, you're kind of embarrassed or a little like, oh, I don't know. Or also there's a little bit of like, yeah, thank you for apologizing to that. Like, or like, man, I didn't even realize that happened, and you get some weird looks. At the end of the service last week, I apologized to somebody here at church, and the look that they gave me was kind of like confusion, and then also like, I don't actually know how they felt about it, and I should have asked them. It would have been a good thing for this, but like, how that person feels at the end of that. I want to treat them how I know we treated. And I know that it feels good to be asked apologies, so I should be doing that, because it's good for that person to feel that way. We're also commanded to do this. We're directed. I mean, we wrote it on our wall out there, which is from Scripture. We're directed to love others. And the way that we truly love others, is part of that is being forgiving. So it's good for the other person. It's healthy for them. I was reading some studies about like the science of forgiveness and apologizing, and like it's good for someone's mental and physical and spiritual health to be on the receiving end of an apology. It, like at the same way that I'm free from the guilt after I've apologized, the person who I'm apologizing to could have been building that up for years. Like I don't think that the pastor who picked my friend for the worship team owes me an apology. I really don't. I mean, honestly, when I sat down with him with my parents, he might have apologized. I don't fully remember. But like, if we had talked that out and worked through that, the years of bitterness that I felt towards my friend, the years of bitterness that I felt towards him would have been gone. I could have saved myself so much. And I don't think he was in the wrong. I'm sure he did. It was probably me not accepting his apology is most likely what happened. Apologizing to others creates peace for them. And Philippians says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. When I hurt somebody, when I do something wrong, there's like a shift in that relationship. And so now we're working, like where we used to work hard to cooperate, and this might be in your work, this might be at home, this might be with friends, this might be family. You're a little bit more competitive. You're like, well, that person did this to me. And then maybe some of us, and depending on our personalities, we might keep score and try to stay even. And I wasn't even the one who like did something wrong, but me, I'm like, well, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to let this person do that, and I'm keeping track of what they're doing. And so we start concentrating on not losing an argument instead of compromising, or like we're little things like, oh, we might have figured this out, but I'm not going to let that go now. Like the next time that I have a request to the web sys admins at our work, they're going to be like, oh no, this is going to take him 2 weeks. Like it's not, those people are going to start, I'm creating like discord in them instead of peace. Forgiveness can help restore this and kind of help people cooperate in benevolence. And so I'm not saying that you should ask forgiveness for somebody so that they treat you better, but if you ask forgiveness, they might treat you better. Like it's hard, you can't get around that. Making peace with others is part of this. Michael Ferrari, kind of the Mammoth Band, come back up. Forgiveness is not a time machine, but it's good for you, and it's good for your relationships. We all make mistakes. We all sin. It's just part of what makes us human. This is the whole, like, almost part of being human. This is why Christ came for us. And so seeking forgiveness isn't something to be ashamed of, or isn't just something to be like, oh, that's kind of gross. It's part of being human. It's how we continue to cooperate. It's how we continue to get stuff done. Because if I am constantly not being forgiveness and that bitterness just grows and grows, it's not good. I think too, in that verse we read earlier from Luke, it said, but you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I think a big part of seeking forgiveness from others is praying for that person. Praying that you can have the strength to follow through the reconciliation even after you ask forgiveness. Or praying for the person who hurt you. On the opposite end, if I can change my attitude, this person has done me wrong, I want to pray for them because I do not want to have bitterness in years and years of my life. I want to cooperate. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. At Chernobyl, that the radiation spread, and they were in denial in those first like day or two, which is like it was only a day or two, but that bitterness, that poison, the radiation was just spreading and brutally hurting people without them even knowing it. Like there's a famous scene people talk about that there was a bridge and all these people were watching the beautiful light show that just happened with Chernobyl exploding. And like those people were slowly dying and they didn't even know it. Bitterness does that. Unforgiveness will create bitterness. And the best time to forgive isn't years from now after you let that bitterness steal years of your life. It's to step forward and do it now. And just like last week, I'm not going to say you need to go talk to that person from 30 years ago who you've harbored bitterness with. Maybe you start praying about it. But I'm talking about our daily lives now. Don't let this happen. Like, don't let the sun down. That's another verse. If you're at the altar and you know you have to reconcile with somebody, go seek them out and reconcile with them. Jesus said, treat others how you want to be treated. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's good for the people that you're apologizing to. It's good for your relationships. It's good for them. It lets them let you off the hook. Lets them forgive you, too, when you seek forgiveness. And remember, you reap what you sow. If I'm sowing forgiveness and seeking repentance for what I've done, I'm going to reap that. If I'm sowing bitterness, I'm going to reap bitterness. It's good for the person's health. It's good if you were on the other receiving end, you feel that and you can seek that forgiveness. And so we're commanded to love others. And so I'm asking and kind of encouraging you guys to do today. Forgiveness is not a time machine, but it's good for you. It's good for your personal growth, and it's good for others too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you just for this morning to look at my stupid mistakes, my stupid transgressions that I've committed to others and talk about how we can seek forgiveness. And I know that it's not just good for me, and I know that it's good for others. I pray for those of us who are harboring bitterness for years that we can pray and talk to you and start the process of reconciliation and forgiving. And I pray that when we make mistakes, when we treat someone as badly, that we can own up to it, not just for the benefit of ourselves, but the benefit of others as well. In your name, amen.